I'm telling you right now, Antifa and Black Lives Matter actively lobbying right now to do snipers. And this goes hand in hand with the CalExit threat too. And Trump is resisting war. Xi doesn't want war. Trump doesn't want war, but the deep state banking cartel that controls both countries' deep states desperately want war. And they need to get us into digital currency, like here in the United States, it's called the Fed coin. They need to get us into this as soon as possible before chaos breaks out and they can't control hyperinflation any longer. From a globalist perspective, COVID is robbing human beings of their humanity. It's robbing them of their civil liberties. It's teaching that whoever runs the government under us is supreme over you, and you will do what you say. You'll wear the symbol of oppression, which is a face mask. You'll stay 6 feet apart. We'll control if your kids go to school. We'll control every aspect of your life.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he will guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Dave Hodges coming to the program, and I got to tell you, this is a jam-packed interview. We're going to talk about the Chinese troops in Canada and what they had planned before Trump came into office in South America and through Mexico, and how Trump stopped it. And if he wasn't elected, it would have been an absolute nightmare. And now it's all repeating itself of what they're trying to do now. And then we're going to talk about the COVID. What really is the central banker's plan? How is a digital currency coming into this? Like I said, this is a jammed, packed interview that affects everyone. But before you start the interview, please pause the show and make sure you sign up for my newsletter, because as everyone knows, censorship is just going on super drive, and we don't know how much longer we have before they just shut all of us off. The newsletter might be one of the only ways that you're going to be able to know when new shows are available. Also on BitChute and Library and on every audio platform. If I'm not on it, make sure you let me know, but I'm on all the major ones. And my podcast is growing quite a bit around the world because this is affecting everyone around the world. So I want to thank every listener around the world for supporting this program. And for those in the United States and Canada too, and Mexico, please support the Sheriff Fund if you can, if you have the ability to do that. I know a lot of people in Canada I've talked to are worried that if the U.S. falls, their freedom falls, that they're gone too. Canada is really relying on the United States holding strong to freedom. And our best bet is our sheriffs. And if you have not donated yet to the Sheriff Fund, that is sherifffund.com. You can go to that and donate. Now, some people are getting error messages. If you do, type that right into the browser or look at the link that I have here under the show notes or on the show page on my website. You should not be getting an error. It is so critical because the sheriffs only answer to the voters, and they're going to protect us on are not having to do mandatory vaccines, the gun grab. And so Sheriff Mack and the CSPOA are going out and dedicating themselves to training at least a third of the sheriffs in this country, not only what their oath of office is, but how to do that. How do you protect a gun grab? I mean, it's not like something, this happens all the time in the United States. So this is something they're going to talk about and train the sheriffs around the country on how to do that, how to de-escalate. You can read more about it on thesheriffffund.com. Please donate to that. It's such an important cause. And I want to get right into this interview now with Dave Hodges. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for coming to the program.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
You have been doing remarkable work. I know I've been on your show a couple of times, and I'm always really impressed with the questions that you're asking me. And you have been following China. And I think we really need to talk about what's going on in China from the standpoint of the troop development. I had Kevin Annette on my show, and We discussed how they've been building up troops in Canada. In fact, the legislation in Canada made it possible for them to do that. And you have been talking about troops in the United States and Mexico and how this all comes together. Can you talk about what is going on that front?
Well, I think that our investigations parallel each other because the Red Dawn threat from our southern border has been somewhat lessened by Trump, and I'll be happy to talk about how, we're seeing the Chinese shift their major focus to north of the border in Canada, hiding behind the casino interests with organized crime and, of course, the Native American tribes, complicit with the Trudeau government. But if you'd like me to, I'll talk about how Trump has done major things to lessen Red Dawn in Central and South America.
I would love to, because I think people need to realize that there is a front that's fighting this, because if all you listened to was the mainstream media, you would feel scared and helpless.
That's true. And then they're after us to get us off the air. I got demonetized by YouTube this week.
Oh, congratulations. Now you're along with me and many others.
They wouldn't tell me why either.
Oh, I petitioned it since early June, and they say that it's going to take longer to even address it because of COVID. So whatever.
That's bull crap. It's because of the election.
Of course.
Anyway, let's start with what we know. I wrote an article 5-6 years ago that talked about how the Red Dawn forces were really building up. And I was lucky because when I addressed this in the last Central American invasion with immigrants, I was approached by not one, but two DEA officials who really had a handle on things. And they were in different stations. One had just been fired from his post. He was the number three man in Peru. And the other had been working with Panama. And they both told me identical stories, and they did not know that the other one was talking to me. And of course, they needed anonymity. But I learned then how bad the Red Dawn threat was. We had, at that time, Brazil was very much an opponent of ours. That shifted now with the election of the Brazilian Donald Trump. But they had Brazil, Venezuela, Bolivia, to some degree, Ecuador and Chile. And then, of course, you move into Central America. They had Panama that was shifting, and they've shifted. And Nicaragua was the big player. El Salvador is where they were doing training. In fact, it's interesting. I've interviewed eyewitnesses at the base training camps in El Salvador where they were training the Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, Middle East terrorists, along with the various cartel interests. And they were basically doing paramilitary training that amounted to light infantry training. And then this has shifted. And now we get into what Trump did. He approached the new government in El Salvador about a year and a half ago and said, you could either fight us or you could be with us. And now we have taken SOUTHCOM, and a lot of SOUTHCOM military personnel are there in El Salvador, and they have armed El Salvador to the teeth. And we have favorable trade agreements with both sides. And El Salvador is really interesting because they sit right in the middle of Central America, and any encroaching invasion force will have to go through El Salvador, and now they're armed. And then when we go farther south, Trump had done a magnificent job of negating South American Red Dawn forces. There's a gap of land between Central and South America, heavy forested, a lot of cliffs, it's almost impassable. And it's called the Darien Gap, and Colombia oversees it. And so what Trump did, and I was really angry at Trump when he appointed Bolton as his security advisor, but he did it with this purpose in mind. He brought in Bolton and convinced Bolton he was going to attack Venezuela. Well, the globalists like that, so their warmonger representative, John Bolton, was all too happy to go to Colombia and set up a deal with Colombia that would allow 10,000 U.S. Marines in there, and 5,000 have been deployed to the Darien Gap. And then promptly after that deal was done, Trump fired Bolton. This is why Bolton was so angry. He knows he was used like an old prostitute.
And deserved it.
Well, I can't stand Bolton.
Yeah.
But this was brilliant by Trump because he basically cut the Red Dawn invasion force in half. Because to go through that Darien Gap would be very, very difficult. And the Colombians are on board with us. And what we don't know is what kind of drug concessions they had to make. And I'm sure they had to make some.
Yeah, and that's awful. But you got to make, and this is where the deals come in. You have to make deals. It's not a pretty game. It just isn't. The more I learn, the more I realize it's just not a pretty game. And you have to adjust on what's most important.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump used Bolton, and that was one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. And he's flipped El Salvador, and they don't have the base training camps there anymore.
That's excellent. And
so the Red Dawn force has been somewhat negated. Now there's another step in this that people aren't seeing. Well, let me put it this way. I'll back up. A couple of my colleagues, like Paul Preston, the president of the New California Movement, host of Agenda 21 Radio, he gets it. We have had this discussion on air. But what Trump did with AMLO, the president of Mexico, was brilliant. AMLO was total, he's a total socialist, communist, yep. and was very much on board with Red Dawn. And the cartels, of course, are controlled by China. And this has been well documented that the Chinese have mechanized the cartels. In fact, there's photos all through the Mexican press about this. We don't cover it here, but it is covered in Mexico. So Trump reached out to AMLO and basically said, okay, we could wreck your country when the war starts, or you can come here and we can negotiate a good trade agreement and a mutual defense pact. And so AMLO is preparing to go to the United States, and the Chinese are going, oh no, hell no, you're not doing this. And so they took one of AMLO's key allies, the Mexico City chief of police, and they tried to assassinate him. Now, he travels everywhere in these souped-up DHS RPG-proof vehicles, and they still wounded him 3 times, killed a couple of his security guards. He survived the attack, but the attack was the warning to AMLO, you are next. In fact, after the attack, AMLO actually made a public appearance with 30 Marines around him. Now, they weren't there for real protection. It was a message, I'm doing this. And then he came to Washington, and we don't know the details of the agreement, but I guarantee it has solidified Mexico's pivoting towards the United States. I still think AMLO's life is in grave danger because the cartels are totally controlled by the communist Chinese, and now they're mechanizing them. And we'll have to contend with that when the war starts and these forces cross the border. But it's a light infantry force.
Well, that's great. It's much lighter than what it was. So we have a better, we can take them out much easier. But you need to expand on what's going on with the Indian reservations, and I know you're going to get there.
Well, I think first, before we go to the reservations, we need to go to the solar energy farms, which is kind of the first cousin to the reservation problem.
You mean in the islands?
I mean right here in America.
Oh, let's talk about it.
I've interviewed the Bundys and, you know, Ammon, and I've interviewed Shauna Cox a few times. Shauna and I have become pretty good friends. And what we learned about the Cliven Bundy, the first Bundy standoff, his land is near Interstate 15 by Nellis Air Force Base, major fighter plane Air Force Base. And in that deal, we all know about Hillary Clinton and BLM extracting uranium for the Uranium One conspiracy. But what was really kept out of the headlines on that controversy was the fact that Harry Reid's son, Peter Reid, was paid $5 million by the Chi-Coms to install solar energy farms. Now, the company they used as a front for the Chinese military at that time was called Senta, but they have changed their name so many times I couldn't even tell you what it is now. But it was Chinese military putting a solar energy farm in there. And let me shift to the southern border of Arizona to tell you why this is important. In 2015, a contingent of ISIS, Hamas, and Hezbollah, and some cartels as protectorates brought down a jet out of Luke Air Force Base, an F-16, in which an Iraqi brigadier general was flying. And the people on the scene, and I've talked to crash scene people, I've talked to a radar operator out of Luke and Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, which is near Tucson, and they all say the same thing. We could not find the pilot. The plane crashes. There was no mayday call. We couldn't find the pilot, and then we found his charred remains in the plane. He couldn't eject. He couldn't do a mayday call. And they go, uh-oh, this is a portable EMP weapon that can bring down planes. Now, let's shift back to the Bundys for a second, knowing that principle has been established. If you have a solar energy farm near proximity of an Air Force base, you can begin to take down planes on their takeoff and landing, as long as you're within about an 80-mile radius from the base. Well, here I started doing research. When I found this out, Pete Santilli said something to me about the solar energy farms. And then I asked Shauna, and Shauna goes, yeah, that's right, Dave. We didn't really look too much at that. And I said, this is huge for national security. And then I looked into it, and I found not only were they putting in solar energy farms on the Bundy land, they were doing it on Interstate 10 within takeoff radius of Luke Air Force Base out of Glendale, Arizona, and then also to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base south of Tucson. And I said, oh, this is not a coincidence. This is three major bases with fighter planes that could repulse an invasion from our southern underbelly. And I said, this is part of Red Dawn.
Did Trump do something about that that you know of?
First of all, the Bundy land is free and clear right now, and all charges have been dismissed, something the mainstream media has not covered. The solar energy farm is still near Luke Air Force Base.
We don't know if they still have control of it and can...
They do. They do.
Well, what do you think about... Mm-hmm. Corey Diggs just did this huge report, and she did a four-part extensive report in 2018, but she re-put out another report on our whole energy system. But Richard Branson, the Clintons, and the Barack Obamas at Department of Energy, they have this thing called the Island Playbook, where they've taken over 20 islands to put in solar panels and wind farms. In all the islands down there, you know, like the Haiti area, that whole tour, they took over the tourism, but they're also putting in a bunch of solar panels. Do you think they're probably doing that there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
we have bases all over there.
Based on some conversations I had with military planners or retired military planners, I wrote an article 4 or 5 years ago that talked about a 7-pronged invasion of the United States, and Red Dawn was only part of it. On that side of the world, you're looking at forces coming out of Cuba, and that basically fits the same model that we're talking about here with Nellis, Luke, and Davis-Monthan.
Yeah, and Obama's creepy enough where he would be involved in this.
Obama's a communist subversive.
I know. That's the scary part.
I can't remember the researcher's name now, but Joel, and his name jumps out of my head, and I apologize, Joel, because I've talked to you. A researcher named Joel, and the last name will come to me, he nailed it when he said Obama was a Manchurian candidate. His mom, Ann Dunham, worked for Tim Geithner's father, the former World Bank chief at the Ford Foundation, which is a CIA psyop where mm-hmm. they train the Manchurians. Kamala Harris's sister was there too, Maya Harris. We've tracked her there. My researcher, Alexander Daly, and I have tracked this. We have pretty good documentation. But the Manchurian candidates are trained there. And we also think that Kamala Harris is part of this group too. But these people are force-fed communism. They're basically brainwashed, and they become classic Manchurian candidates. And this is Obama. I mean, he came from this group. He was trained. What's what Bezmenov and the other Soviet defectors talked about? They said, we'll conquer you within. And when they defected, they said, you need to know what's coming here. They're going to take over your movie industry, your education, which the Chinese have done. And we're going to take over all these things, and we'll conquer you from within. And Obama was an example of the conquering from within. You know, he was endorsed by the American Communist Party when he ran for election and all these other leftist subversive groups. They knew what he was.
Well, I'm not surprised. I don't know if you knew, but I went on a delegation to China, and I guess we're the last people before they shut down the country. We're the last tourists, and I went on a delegation, and I didn't know, but I was there with about half the people were communists, and the other half were more like me, and so we ended up splitting up, really. It was really an incredible experience. My kids were there. It was my family. And I learned a lot from that experience, and it was really eye-opening. A lot of them were journalists, and you've seen them on TV and things, and the extent to what they believe, they wanted the Xi to be their president. I mean, they were hardcore communists. They also did not believe the millions that were killed. They say that's over exaggerated. When, you know, the communists take over. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And these guys are scary. I asked them, well, if we changed over to communism, what happens to all the people that do not believe in that? And he says, well, there's something that needs to be done with them. That's what he said. He didn't expand on it much. He goes, we just need to do something with them.
Well, I could elaborate on that.
I know. Go ahead.
Bill Ayers, head of the Weatherman Underground, and he was infiltrated by Larry Grathwall, who I interviewed a bunch. And Bill Ayers said, when Larry asked him, what will you do if you ever take over this communist revolution? He said, 50 million in re-education camps, do away with 25 million. He was the man who launched Barack Obama's political career in his Hyde Park, Chicago home. And he still visited Barack Obama during both terms of his presidency.
Well, and are you seeing this play out? I mean, is this exactly what we're seeing play out in Seattle? Portland's the worst right now. Chicago, New York City is completely dying. They lost half their wealth base. 40% of the wealthier neighborhoods are bailing.
By design.
And it's accounting for half their wealth.
Well, it's by design, Sarah. It's classic communism. Out of chaos comes order. Let's tear down the system. That's why all the Democratic mayors and governors are behind the lockdowns, which have wrecked the economy. We're not coming back from this economically. There's no way.
We need to cut that out of, they need to be cut out of the system, meaning they cannot have this power over us because they're too destructive. I mean, all they want to do is destroy, destroy, destroy. Now, when you heard about the Canadian troops, or not the Canadian troops, the Chinese troops in Canada, what were your first thoughts?
Well, they've already been there for a while. The Chinese, in plain clothes, have infiltrated British Columbia for quite some time. That's no secret. And in fact, a lot of the people in British Columbia know that and have talked to me about it. But now they're formalized. I mean, they're not hiding it. That's what's amazing. This is easy information to grab. And I don't know what the message is they're trying to send. It's almost like they're trying to intimidate Trump because they're being so overt about what they're doing. They're not hiding anything. That's just shocking to me. Trudeau has basically declared war on the United States by allowing this to go on.
Exactly, because their legislation actually approved it.
Yeah, exactly. And they've taken over the second biggest port in British Columbia, the Chinese, and it's really analogous to what they did with Long Beach for 20 years until Trump stopped that Long Beach agreement in which the Chi-Coms were controlling the port. And God knows how much military equipment, supplies, and manpower they brought in through Long Beach.
Jeez, yeah, it's really scary. Now let's talk about the Indian reservations, because I know that Barack Obama brought in over 100,000 Syrians. When the United States said no, the people of the U.S., people pushed back. He did it anyways, but put them on a reservation because he could get around the rules. Over 100,000 Syrians, they can do whatever they want on these reservations. What are they doing?
It's not just Syrians.
Well, I know that. That's what I just happened to know that came
out. The biggest threat, and Syrians are part of it, okay? And they'll be foot soldiers and IED experts. But the real threat comes from the cartel interests. And this is really a broad answer to your question, but it's important. If you're in California right now, you can go gamble without any social distancing or face masks, but you cannot go to the gym or to church. And in Arizona, where I live, it's basically the same thing. So why are the cartels open? Well, the California legislators and the major players politically are all in bed with the communist Chinese. And I'll just give you one example, and I could give you 50. I've published photos of Nancy Pelosi and Beto O'Rourke, 2015, hanging out with Nieto, the former president of Mexico, who took a $100 million bribe from Chapo Guzman to let the Sinaloas run free with drugs. And so there's the Pelosi angle of the overthrow of the United States government is to be supportive of the cartels and to block any immigration legislation or the building of the wall. That's just one example. So let's translate that to the cartels. The cartels provide security and do operations with Chi-Com soldiers on native territory, and they do so and use the casinos as a base of operations. And this is not unknown to people. Again, I'll mention Paul Preston, the head of the New California Movement. He and I have done interviews about this. And there's no question this is going on. And in fact, there are native tribes who own land on both sides of the Mexican-American border, and they facilitate the cartel interests in these casinos. But it's not just that they're facilitating their drugs. They do. It's a base of operations, for example, for the CJNG gang. and they distribute drugs to the rural areas in America. The Sinaloas have the urban areas, and they operate out of these native lands. But that's not the major threat to us. As bad as that is, and the 70,000 fentanyl deaths we've had as a result of that last year, the major threat is the military threat or the terrorist threat. Paul Preston has produced witnesses that have attended the CalExit meetings, which is basically George Soros, China, at that time the Mexican consulate, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, all part of this movement to withdraw California from the Union and become a protectorate of the United Nations. In fact, this is back on the ballot again for this election. And CalExit in their secret meetings have said, if we can't get out politically, we'll just start killing white people en masse. And I've actually written an article about this where I said, I believe from what I saw in the evidence that we were able to obtain in the Las Vegas massacre, that was a beta test for what's coming. And this is the role the cartels can help play.
So where are the areas you think they're going to target white people? And what areas of this country do you think are a little safer?
There are no safe areas. It used to be we'd say get out of the cities. But we know, and they broadcast it, Black Lives Matter. And Antifa said, there's nowhere you can hide. We're coming to your small towns. In fact, where were they at? Bethel, Illinois. It's a Democratic town, and the Democrats ran out BLM. This is how bad they are that even Democrats ran them out.
Well, Antifa says there's a bullet for the liberals, too. I mean, that's what they got to pull their heads out of their butt and stop supporting these Democrats, because these guys don't care about them.
Sarah, what we're going to see in this election, if we have one, a lot of people are going to say, yeah, I'm voting for Biden, and they're going to get behind the curtain and they're voting for Trump. I know, because they tell me. The biggest increase in my audience is disaffected liberals who no longer support the Democratic Party. And a lot of them are Black.
I think it's en masse. I'm seeing a big increase too. Even though they're doing every possible thing they can to censor me, my numbers are growing. And that's incredible considering how hard they're trying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. you are understating what they're doing. I mean, they've basically demonetized on YouTube virtually anyone who's conservative and who would encourage people to vote for Trump. And they're doing it because they know that we're having an influence on the left. And I've said this, I'll come on a broadcast and I'll say things like, you know we have our differences about abortion, about taxation, how much government should be in our lives, but let's just look at what's going on. Do you want to live in cities where there's no 911? You're a victim every time you step outside your house. You're not safe in your house. No one's coming to help you. Firebombed through your window and you've done nothing wrong. In fact, you support the liberals. Are you really okay with this? And is this the future you want for your kids where they're not safe? Where five-year-old kids are shot in the head riding a bike across someone's yard? I said, is this what you want? And they're human beings, just like us.
Exactly.
They want to have a future for their kids, and they're just like us. They really just want to live their lives and be left alone. And they have philosophical difference to us, but they're sick of it. The Democrats overplayed their hand.
I think our philosophical differences are not that big compared to this. We align much more, and I would feel so much better to get back to fighting over, you know, some free markets and how much government's involved versus this.
Yeah, and so would they.
Yeah, I know.
I hear this all the time, all the time. I've asked a couple. One of them was a former county commissioner from all places, Shasta, where that veteran gave that famous tirade towards his county commissioners. And this guy said to me, he said, you know, Dave, he said, I'd love to come on your show. Thanks for the invitation, but I'll never hear the end of it. And he said, I'm one of the few Democrats that got elected here, and I'm probably narrowing down who he is, and I don't mean to do that. But the intimidation factor is big for Democrats. But I'm telling you, when they get behind closed doors, they're going to vote different than the liberals want them to vote.
I agree with you. I think it's a growing tsunami. I'm just very concerned that they're going to lie and cheat this election. They're trying to say that the Republicans will do that and Trump will do that and cheat the election. But I actually think that's their game plan for real.
Mm-hmm. But if the Democrats win, you and I aren't going to be talking about how to save the country. We're going to be talking about the best places to hide.
I know. That's what the scary part is. I'm very concerned about that. Now, what do you think about if Trump does win? What is... I think we're still going to have war, or it's going to be incredible.
I talked to Daisy Luther about this the other day from the Organic Prepper website. And she said something that she pulled the thoughts right out of my mind. Bosnia, 1992. You can walk on the street and you're a target. And there's precedent for what I'm saying. When we wanted regime change in Ukraine and Russian friendly government bureaucrats in Ukraine out, they assassinated them. They walked out of buildings and snipers got them. I even wrote an article about it called Snipers on the Roof. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to break this story here on your show. I've talked about it in a few other places, but I've had, and so has Paul Martin, a person who works for the Common Sense Show. And Paul talked to Aurora Police in Aurora, Colorado, where I grew up. And I've talked to some sources in Austin, Texas. And 5 days apart of these groups coming out and blocking roads and interstates, they also had what looked like SWAT teams up on sniper teams up on top of tall buildings. Now, the police concluded that they weren't operational. They were training. Well, that's Bosnia 1992. I'm telling you right now, Antifa and Black Lives Matter actively lobbying right now to do snipers. And this goes hand in hand with the CalExit threat, too.
Well, who do you think is behind training Antifa? Who do you know?
George Soros, without question.
Yep. And then there's also, who's behind George Soros?
Well, he answers to the boys from Basel, the international bankers. They're ultimately behind this. You know, I'm going to answer your question kind of through the side door. We have a deep state. And it has its origins with the international banking community, and they buy off their minions in the Democratic Party. China also has their deep state, and Xi Jinping right now is going through a huge struggle. They want war. The defense minister of China, Wei Fang, is really the leader, the operational leader of the deep state. He would kind of be like the Hillary Clinton, if you would, of the deep state in China. And they want war with the United States. They want to invade their enemies. They want to go into India, which they did, but they wanted to go further, and Xi Jinping stopped them. I can tell you for a fact that I have sources that tell me that Xi and Trump are doing everything they can do to avoid war, but Xi's forces are forcing him to do it. And this was actually publicized about a week ago. He threw out military personnel in a meeting. He said, get out of here, and now he's purging them. And that was in the news 2 days ago. So China is being pushed to go to war with us. I was told, I have a source who's former RSOF, two-star general, and he put me in contact with two different people in the Pentagon, and they said the same thing. And this is back in May. If Trump wants to keep his job, he's got to make the deep state military-industrial complex happy. They want war with China. And they control the Joint Chiefs of Staff, much like Fauci and Burks are controlled by Bill Gates with purse strings. And they said if he goes to war with China or moves in that direction, he'll keep his presidency. If he doesn't, all bets are off the table.
Gosh, it's so crazy.
So that's kind of where we're at with everything. Yeah, it is crazy. But this, listen, I got told this. My RSOF guy knew this, but he said, Dave, you need to hear it from some of the horse's mouth, and I'm going to give you two people who do not work together. And we did these conversations 3 days apart. And they both said almost identical things. And since then, I've had some other confirmations in other areas. And Trump is resisting war. Xi doesn't want war. Trump doesn't want war. But the deep state banking cartel that controls both countries' deep states desperately want war.
And they want war because they want the money stream. They also want war to be able to regain worldwide control.
That is the final objective, I agree, about global control. The short-term objective is all the currencies are failing, and they need to get us into digital currency. Like here in the United States, it's called the Fed coin.
Yeah.
They need to get us into this as soon as possible before chaos breaks out and they can't control hyperinflation any longer.
Yeah, because I know that we're so close to the hyperinflation. I'm surprised we're making it this long. And I believe that this whole COVID takedown behind it, a lot of it is that to control the...
There's multiple agendas with COVID. Absolutely right on that. It's very perceptive. From a globalist perspective, COVID is robbing human beings of their humanity. It's robbing them of their civil liberties. It's teaching that whoever runs the government under us is supreme over you, and you will do what you say. You'll wear the symbol of oppression, which is a face mask. You'll stay 6 feet apart. We'll control if your kids go to school. We'll control every aspect of your life. And we don't have a constitution any longer. That's gone. And they have taken care of that. So that's one goal, is subjugation. The other goal, believe it or not, people aren't procreating when they're wearing face masks, and our birth rate is plummeting. I talked to a demographer out of Arizona State University, and he told me, he said, our birth rate's gone down to 1.8 going into this year. He said, no nation's ever come back from 1.8. You need 2.1 to maintain. And if we don't have a 2.1 through immigration and birth rate, then we can't support the Ponzi schemes of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. It'll be a catastrophe for the elderly. And he said he thinks the birth rate could go to 1.2 in a year. And he said that's where Italy's at. Italy's falling apart.
Well, and is that part of the process of killing off older people? I mean, this COVID?
Yes.
I mean, because it's just insane what they're doing to older and not caring about.
If you're 50 and under and don't have an underlying health condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, tuberculosis, chemotherapy, you're not going to die. Your chances of dying are
nothing.
You're
just not, yeah.
If you're someone who has those conditions and you're elderly, that's making up about 99% of the deaths. And it's not an accident that COVID was engineered to kill off the elderly. They're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, I know. I just had an interview with Rocco Galati, who's suing the government of Canada, Trudeau, and health ministers and others. And he has a lot of experts that are giving testimony. And one of them is is rated the top pediatric hospital in the world. And they said that masks and social distancing for kids is going to create long-term trauma mm-hmm. and long-term effects that is devastating to our kids. And I haven't seen the whole report. I think it's something I got to publish on my website. But these people don't care.
It's not that they don't care. That's their objective. I mean, they intentionally want this to happen.
What would be the point of creating long-term trauma on the entire youth of a population?